This is Smarter Care Connections, a podcast produced by the Virginia Center for Health Innovation. Smarter Care Connections features conversations with faculty from the Smarter Care Virginia Low-Value Healthcare Reduction Initiative, as well as other thought leaders and partners of the center. These conversations are intended to be informative, but easily digestible by healthcare professionals and policymakers interested in improving healthcare value. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to the Smarter Care Virginia podcast. My name is Steve Horan and I'm a member of the Smarter Care Virginia support team. Today, we are excited to have with us Dr. Mark Fendrick, who will share his insights on the topic of reducing low-value services in the COVID-19 era. Welcome, Dr. Fendrick.
Great to be here, Steve.
Before we get started, I'd like to share some brief background on Dr. Fendrick and his vital work. Dr. Fendrick is a professor of internal medicine in the School of Medicine and a professor of health management and policy in the School of Public Health at the University of Michigan. He is widely known for his work to conceptualize and coin the term value-based insurance design, or VBID, and he currently directs the VBID Center at the University of Michigan, which is the leading advocate for development, implementation, and evaluation of innovative health benefit plans. Dr. Fendrick shares a long-term relationship with the Commonwealth of Virginia, and in particular, the Virginia Center for Health Innovation and the Smarter Care Virginia projects. So we are grateful to have Dr. Fendrick as a member of our faculty and as our source of expertise for this podcast. So let's get right to it. Our topic is reducing low-value services in the COVID-19 era. Our opportunity is to learn more about the importance of reducing low-value services in this current time of COVID-19, and also how the Smarter Care Virginia project is distinctive within the national landscape. So Dr. Fendrick, let's start with the big picture. The pandemic has created challenging times for everyone involved in healthcare, including patients, providers, and payers. Given the current situation, what do you see as the key implications for value-based care, both nationally and in Virginia?
Well, Steve, all stakeholders in the United States agree that we spend enough money on healthcare. So at least we have that level of agreement. The problem is we just spend it on the wrong services, on the wrong people, in the wrong places at the wrong time. And we had been making some progress before this pandemic hit, often led by employers trying to figure out a way to move from a volume-based system to a value-based system. And although we had made some incremental changes, of which the Commonwealth of Virginia had been the tip of the spear, the COVID-19 pandemic has really thrown a wrench into our movement to value-based care. Now, as a cautious optimist, I have felt all along that we didn't need a pandemic to bring an attention to the fact that we really need to realign our healthcare spending around value. The problem is that for the first time in my 25-year career, I actually believe all the stakeholders who are pleading poverty. The providers saw substantial hits in visits, particularly around elective visits and procedures. We saw significant impacts on our plan sponsors and employers in terms of their lines of business, giving them less resources in terms of what they could spend on healthcare services. So as much as I wanted to be known as a high-value care guy, someone who had argued to make access and affordability enhancements to those services that I beg my patients to do, I really do believe that we have to focus on saving smart as we come out of the COVID-19 pandemic, because there just may not be the funds to go around. So instead of blunt instruments that many purchasers use to reduce healthcare spending, such as high deductibles on all services or increasing cost sharing on those who just use care, I think one of the ways to preserve or actually continue to increase coverage on the services that we know make Virginians healthier is to identify, measure, report, and reduce those services that do not make Virginians or any Americans healthier. And I'm really happy to point out that VCHI and the Commonwealth has really been a leader in this area before the pandemic hit, and I believe will produce some very important lessons to the rest of the country if the Smarter Care Virginia project actually delivers as we hope.
Let's focus now on reducing low-value services in particular. Is it important for health systems to continue reducing low-value services right now? And if so, are there any particular opportunities we should focus on?
Well, I've been working very closely with the Commonwealth and Smarter Care Virginia since its inception. And I think that what we knew is that one of the ways to create headroom or increase allocation of resources to those services that we believe that were underused or underinsured was to find funds elsewhere, particularly on those services that are harmful or those that are not making Virginians any healthier. What's really intriguing to me, Steve, about the current situations post-COVID is Beth Bortz and her amazing team and I had been focusing on reducing a specific number of services that clinical organizations had identified as those that are both not producing health and secondary, where implementation would likely be easiest with the least amount of noise. What's been really interesting to me, and I view as a silver lining opportunity of the pandemic, is almost all of those services that had been used quite frequently in Virginia practically went to zero in the spring of 2020. But at the same time, Steve, those services that I want to increase use also went to zero during the early stages of the pandemic. So instead of our early thoughts on the Smarter Care Virginia was to push down the use of the low value services and push up the use of the high ones, we're in a very different place now in the fact that we want to keep the low value services at a minimal use level and instead try to align all the stakeholders, that being the providers first, the consumers second, and the purchasers third, to put more money into those services that will make Virginians individually and from a population perspective healthier. And at the same time, save those hundreds of millions of dollars on those services that we've identified through VCHI and put them to a better place.
Now let's shift the lens and focus on Smarter Care Virginia as a strategy for reducing low-value services. From your national perspective, Dr. Fendrick, what makes Smarter Care Virginia distinctive within the national landscape of innovation to advance value-based care?
Yeah, my colleagues at VCHI know that whenever I talk so enthusiastically about Smarter Care Virginia, I say that I'm thrilled and horrified because it, in my opinion, it is the most well-thought-out, multi-stakeholder implementation of strategies to reduce low-value care that I could think of. So it is my hope that we will have substantial reductions in those services that we have targeted. And I'm horrified that if they don't, I don't know what else that we could do, given I've been thinking about programs to reduce low-value care now for nearly half a decade. But what's impressive about VCHI is the immediacy that all the key stakeholders in healthcare, which, as you know, Stephen, the Commonwealth is just about everyone across the state who kind of embraced this idea that there's enough money being spent on healthcare in the Commonwealth, and we could spend more on the good stuff, particularly if we spend less on the bad stuff. So it shouldn't surprise anyone to see consumer advocates, to see employers, and to see health sciences companies come together around the reduction of low-value care. What was really exciting to me and has proved to be a national leadership point was how quickly the delivery systems across the Commonwealth came to VCHI and volunteered to participate in this program. This, to me, is a sentinel for the fact that those who are providing care see that these ongoing efficiencies, driven by lots of irrationalities of payment and coverage, can actually be overcome in a way to spend our dollars better, more on those things that make Virginians healthier and less on those things that don't help them at all, and in some cases actually harm them.
Thanks, Dr. Fendrick. And I think in your comments, you point to a longstanding culture of collaboration in Virginia. That collaborative work came together and provided a foundation for Smarter Care Virginia. And the role of the Virginia Center for Health Innovation was instrumental in pulling all that together, which we all greatly appreciate.
Yeah, I'd like to say that what's been very fortunate to me, not just in the Commonwealth, but working in value-based care and specifically value-based insurance design now going on nearly 20 years, is that the idea of reducing barriers to high-value services and increasing barriers to deter the use of low-value care has been a bipartisan idea politically from the very beginning. And while there are a lot bigger and better healthcare transformation ideas, we've been extraordinarily fortunate to not only have bipartisan political support, but to actually have multi-stakeholder support from the get-go. And our experience in the Commonwealth is so exemplary of this in the fact that I've now worked with three administrations on issues of value-based care, not just low-value care, but hopefully to enhance access to those services that make Virginians healthier, as led by the state employee health plan, through Republican governors and Democratic governors, through Republican-led legislatures and Democratic-led legislatures. So I'm hopeful that this intuitive idea of spending money better to enhance the health of Virginians and reduce harm when it's happening will be something that will perpetuate, even though there is lots of rhetoric and controversy over broader healthcare issues statewide.
Thank you, Dr. Fendrick. Makes good sense. And Virginia is a learning health system type of state. VCHI has always promoted bringing people together to collaborate, to learn and take action. So we always want to learn what we can from other states and what they're doing. So looking beyond Smarter Care Virginia, are there any leading edge initiatives from other places that Virginia could learn from?
So before I get to other states, I think since you put COVID-19 in the title of this podcast, Steve, which is very smart, because if you don't put something regarding coronavirus in a title of anything, no one tends to care much about it, given our very, very intense attention to the pandemic. I think that there are a lot of things that come out that have shown the amazing adaptability of VCHI and the Smarter Healthcare Group. Of course, our design to implement Smarter Care Virginia was thrown by the wayside, just like so many other things with the pandemic in the early part of the year 2020. And it was just amazing to me, being 600 miles away, to see the adaptability of all the participants in Smarter Care Virginia to quickly revise the program to adapt specifically to the impact of the pandemic. Most notably, of course, is the rise of virtual or telemedicine, as well as other key elements that were happening to the healthcare system moving forward. So that kind of has changed our focus. That has changed some of the elements of what we're doing with Smarter Care Virginia, but our focus remains specific to the identification and reduction of care that we shouldn't be providing. The good news is that while Virginia has moved as a leader, there are several other states that are running alongside or running behind the Commonwealth. The Washington Health Authority has been a partner in running the Milliman MedInsight Health Waste Calculator to produce a similar quantification of low-value care. More recently, Maine and Colorado, through their all-payer claims databases, have also assessed the hundreds of millions of dollars spent on easily identified low-value care, similar, at least in percentage of spends, as the Commonwealth of Virginia. We also have engaged other states more recently, such as Utah and Connecticut, to move this idea forward. Oregon has their own report. But one of the things that I see to provide great tribute to the work within the Commonwealth and specifically Smarter Care Virginia is that many of these states do not want to reinvent the wheel regarding implementation programs to reduce low-value care. And for better or for worse, Steve, the Commonwealth of Virginia is the tip of the spear, and everyone around the country is looking to you for advice regarding implementation. So I am, as I said earlier, thrilled and horrified about this amazing project and remain very optimistic that the lessons learned, no matter how big or small the impact on low-value care, will be able to be translated nationally and these learnings actually applied as other states move forward in similar implementations to reduce harmful services.
Thank you, Dr. Fendrick, for sharing your insights with us today. We appreciate the groundbreaking work you're leading to help improve health and healthcare nationally and in Virginia. And we look forward to learning more from you as all of our health system partners proceed with the vital work of Smarter Care Virginia.
Steve, it's a pleasure to work with you and the team. I just want to let your listeners know that we have lots of resources on value-based insurance design and low-value care at VBIDcenter.org. And there's lots of specific resources on low-value care at the Task Force for Low-Value Care. I would just Google those terms. Beth Bortz and Kyle Russell have been active members in our multi-stakeholder, multi-state initiative to bring key participants together to discuss these issues. And I hope your listeners will enjoy having free access to those resources.
Wonderful. Thank you, Dr. Fendrick.
It's my pleasure, Steve. Keep up the great work.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Smarter Care Connections.